This morning, we're going to begin a brand new series called Burning Within Us, which is going to dive into the Bible as a whole, how we understand the scriptures. And I want to begin by giving you a little bit of a metaphor, so to speak, of how we think about our understanding of scripture and how we understand the faith as a whole. I believe that we understand scripture and we understand what it means to have faith in God better if we think of it in terms of not just something to know, not just something to experience once, but if we think about it as a journey. We think about it as something that we travel through and we travel along with. And the scripture we're looking at this morning will help paint that picture for us as we look at it as a part of our message today. But to begin with, just think about the idea of journeys. Think about the idea of going somewhere. You might think back on your life to a journey that you have had and somewhere that you have traveled and lessons that you learned along the way. And more than likely, if you're like me, there are things that you have learned on different journeys that you have taken and applied to future lessons that you would experience in life. Let me give you an example of something that happened in my life. This was an example of a journey in which I was traveling along and learned something so profound from it that it has shaped every other journey that I've been a part of ever since then. The scene of this was my very first road trip that I took without parental supervision. Me and my best friend in high school were so wild and crazy that we decided our first time away from home was going to be going to a Christian concert festival. And so we went up to North Georgia, drove up from Macon, and we went and listened to a bunch of Christian music for 3 days. Wild and crazy kids we were back then. But we went, and as part of it, we had to kind of figure out some things as we went along the way. There were some things that you only can learn through experience and through the school of hard knocks. And we learned the absolute importance of planning, and another aspect of planning, something called budgeting. Something called planning and something called budgeting. Now, we went up there and we didn't really have a plan for what we were going to do for food. We just figured we'll get food when we're up there. We'll run by a grocery store. We didn't think about the fact that you might want to check and see if there are actually grocery stores near where we were going. And there weren't. There was this one little rinky-dink gas station, and that was the only place that we could go and find food. And fortunately for us, they did have a few basic supplies, and so we were able to go and get some bread and get, for me, what I wanted to eat while I was there was turkey sandwiches. My friend wanted to eat peanut butter. And I also got a little bit of mustard because I wanted to make sure that my sandwich wasn't completely dry. And so we go and we get our basic supplies. We're ready to go. We're ready to enjoy this weekend. And there were a lot of things we didn't plan very well for. We didn't have the best tent in the world. And it poured down rain, of course, because why wouldn't it pour down rain at an outdoor music festival? And we're experiencing that. But our most profound memory about our poor planning was that we ran out of some of the items that we had for food. And for me, what that meant was I ran out of turkey. I also had run out of money, which meant I wasn't able to go buy more turkey from the store. And so I had to resort for the remainder of that festival to eating nothing but bread and mustard. Friends, when you make the mistake of planning so poorly that you wind up with nothing but mustard sandwiches, it will change the way you think about planning for the rest of your life. And you will never enter into a road trip, a journey, without planning more properly. So much so that when I was in college and me and my friends would go and travel together, I was the one who was put in charge of planning, and I always would have the binder, the notebook that had every single piece of information. There was one road trip that I had the cost breakdown for the local parking garages in one of the cities we were going to be visiting just so we could plan everything out. I knew where we were going to eat. I knew what we were going to eat. I knew how much it cost ahead of time because I was not going to make the mistake of our journey ending with us eating mustard sandwiches. When I plan a dinner party, I want you to know that I do not want the dinner party to end with people eating mustard sandwiches. And so I plan more than enough food to the point that sometimes people look around and go, who else is coming? And I said, I just don't want to run out. I don't want you to have to eat nothing but mustard, because I learned something in that lesson that has traveled with me through every single journey for the rest of my life. And what we experience is that if we just learn a few things about our faith early on and we don't really build on them, we don't really continue to grow, it doesn't really do a whole lot for us. But if we think about our faith and we think about our journey through Scripture as something that we travel through, that we gain understanding and experience with as we go along, then it is something that can continue to transform us, we can continue to grow from, and it can continue to shape how we will live our lives from that point onwards. And so it's better for us if we think of Scripture not just as a reference book that you just flip through and find the right reference and point to the page and say, oh, that's what I'm supposed to know for this. It's better if we don't think about it that way. It's also better if we don't think of it as just a bunch of thrown together stories that don't really relate to each other. It's better if we think about it from the perspective as something that we journey through, as something that, much like a journey, much like a story, has a narrative to it, has a beginning and an end, and it all flows together and ties together. There are within our Bible 66 different books that combine to make what we have as the contemporary Old Testament and New Testaments. There are, in most Bibles, around 1,000 to 1,200 pages that construct it. And if we think about it from that perspective, we think of it as something that maybe is too big for us to fully understand, which is why what we want to do in this series is we want to kind of zero in on what are the big movements within it and how can we understand it as a whole. How can we view it as a journey, something that we travel through, is not just a collection of different stories, but something that is tied together as one overall arc? And so for us, what we're going to do is we're going to travel through this journey, but we're going to do it in such a way that we're trying to answer this question right here. How can we know God? How can we know what God is all about? How can we understand God's will for our lives? How can we understand God's story? And how can we be in relationship with God? Scripture is one of those ways that God has revealed his word to us and God speaks to us. But in order to understand that, we have to understand how to understand Scripture, how to understand what these words are all about and how they all tie together. I've never really met anyone who sat down and read the Bible once from beginning to end and then closed the book and said, I have arrived there. I know God now. Instead, it's something that you journey with, that you travel through. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at the overall arc of Scripture and try to understand what God is speaking to us and how God is speaking through these pages into our lives. Now, to begin with, we need to kind of give a little bit of an overview of the Bible as a whole. Like I said, we don't want to think of it just as 66 books strung together or just a collection of different stories that don't have anything to go together. In fact, most biblical scholars believe that there are six major movements within the Bible. And if you're a note taker, this is going to be your dream day. There are a lot of blanks to fill in on our message notes. And the first ones are these different moves of Scripture. Scripture begins with creation, then there is the fall, then we have a lot of information about the nation of Israel, then we encounter Jesus, from Jesus and his ministry emerges the church, and then we experience, in response to the work of the church and the work of Jesus, new creation. And here's where it all ties together. If we think of it as just a bunch of different stories thrown together, it doesn't make sense to us as something that we can journey through. But if we see these movements and we see that each one of them has an impact, then we can start to see Scripture as telling one big story. Now, obviously, some of these are shorter than the others. Creation is about a chapter and a half at the beginning of Genesis. The fall is about a chapter and a half more. Israel is a lot of books and a lot of chapters. Jesus is what we encounter within the Gospels and parts of the New Testament. The church is how that is lived out in the rest of the New Testament. And the new creation is what is explained at the end of Scripture as the ultimate goal of where this is all pointing and headed towards. But those movements show up over and over again, and they help us to understand that Scripture is this journey that we travel through. And when we travel with our faith through this journey, it starts to make sense to us and we start to see it as something that has an impact in our lives. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at this Scripture that Matt read for us a few moments ago, and we're going to let it be our guide for how we approach these big six movements of the Bible and how we understand the Bible as a whole through a particular lens and through a particular understanding. Now, to set the scene for this, this story from Luke chapter 24 takes place after the resurrection. So if you're following the calendar and you're looking ahead and you go, okay, we're 6 weeks out from Easter, we're actually beginning after that point. We're kind of going out of order here. But there is a reason for that. And the reason for that is because our understanding of Scripture emerges out of our understanding of the resurrected Christ. And what we find is they are traveling along on this journey. They are going to this place called Emmaus. It's a place that is very nondescript. In fact, this is the only time that it's recorded in Scripture is the story of these two disciples traveling to Emmaus and Jesus traveling along with them. And what we find is a bit of a journey begins to unfold, a bit of a journey begins to be experienced. As they are traveling along, the Scriptures and their faith begin to be opened up to them. So here's kind of the high points of the story. They're traveling along, and then in verse 15, it says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Now, the story continues, and there are a few other verses that fall in between what we're referencing on the screen. But what ends up happening is he's walking along with them. He sees that they don't recognize him, and they want to know why they seem so downcast. He wants to know what it is that they're confused about. And then it says in verse 19, when they had questioned him as to whether he was the only person who didn't know about what had happened with Jesus, he says, "What things are you talking about?" And they replied, "About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people." And then it goes on to explain that he was sentenced to death, that he died on the cross, and that they had hoped that he was going to be the one. They had hopes that had not been fulfilled. And then they said some people had gone to the tomb early this morning, and they discovered that there wasn't a body there, and they were wondering what this meant. And then in verse 25, Jesus clarifies what all of this was about. Says in verse 25, he said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." In other words, he takes all the scriptures and he walks through them and they journey together. And he begins to explain, and they begin to understand what the scriptures were all about. Now, why this is important is because Jesus reveals himself to these disciples along that journey, along their travels, and it is through that as he is revealing himself, they begin to journey together, they continue to journey together, and they continue to grow in understanding. And for us, as we think about the Bible, as we think about our faith journey, we experience faith through a journey. We experience it much like the disciples did along that Emmaus road, as something where they continued to grow in their understanding along the way. There will be a point later in the story where everything clicks, when they recognize that it's Jesus, and they go and they tell everyone about it. And many of us, our faith journey goes along like that. We are traveling along, we begin to start to understand some things, and then slowly but surely we realize who Jesus is, we realize the meaning of his teachings, and it's confirmed within our lives, and then we go and we grow in our faith from that point forward. In the Methodist Church, we explain this faith journey in kind of three movements that are all a part of the experience of grace. And this is how grace plays out. Our faith journey is confirmed through grace, and it's confirmed in this ways. It is cultivated, confirmed, and continued by grace. Now, those three movements we understand as the prevenient grace of God, the justifying grace of God, and then the sanctifying grace of God. We talked about prevenient grace earlier in our service with the baptism of gray. And it is the presence of God's grace already in his life before he even comes to understand, before he even comes to accept that for himself. And he will travel along in his journey of faith. And we believe with the confidence and the trust of God that there will come a time when he will confirm that in his life. And he will receive that and he will accept it. And that he will continue to grow in his faith and continue to grow by grace. I'll give you a tangible example of how this plays out in people's lives. I got to see this play out very beautifully in the life of someone that was a part of one of the churches I served previously. There was a young man who had grown up in that church, and he had learned about grace. He had learned about what it meant to follow Jesus, but his life had gone a completely different direction. He was not walking with the Lord. He was not walking in the faith that he had been brought up in. But one day, God had been stirring in his heart, and he just started to drive around town, and he was starting to pray and ask questions, and it was kind of, you know, that whole, you know, God, if you're real, if you're out there, give me a sign kind of prayers. And next thing he knows, he finds himself driving by this church that he grew up at. He looks out the window, and he sees the church, and he says, that's it. I need to go in there and ask somebody to pray for me. And so he goes in and he explains to the person that he met with, hey, I feel like God is moving in my life. I don't know what exactly to make of all this, but I think I need to be saved. I think I need to give my life to Jesus. And so that person sat down with him and prayed with him, and he experienced the grace of Jesus. He gave his life to Jesus. But then that's not where the story ended. He walked down the hall, I got introduced to him, and next thing I know, he and his fiance are showing up at a small group that I was leading at the time for young adults, and he grew in his faith, he grew in his understanding of the scriptures, and then he continued to grow to the point that now he is a loving husband and father leading his family in the Christian faith. It was the entire journey where God was stirring within him. He then realized that God was calling him to put his faith in Jesus. And then he went on to continue to grow in that faith, not viewing the journey as a destination, but viewing it as something he would continue to grow in. And God did a mighty and profound work in his life. Some people are like the Apostle Paul. They encounter Jesus along the Damascus Road. It's a blinding light experience. It's a complete 180, a complete conversion and change of their lives. And others of us, we travel along, we learn things as we go through the journey, and then over time, we begin to realize that much like the disciples walking on that road to Emmaus, it's Jesus who has been walking with us all along. It's Jesus who has been present with us through that prevenient grace, and we're going to put our faith and our hope in him, and we're going to continue to grow in that faith and in that grace, because our journey is not just a destination. It's something that keeps going, and we keep growing. So how do we do that? How do we grow in our faith when we realize that it's Jesus that we are called to surrender our lives to and to make the Lord of our lives and to surrender our lives and be guided as his disciples? We do that through having an understanding of what God's holy word is all about. And this story explains to us what God's holy word is all about. That's why we're beginning our journey through Lent, not with a story about Lent, but with a story about Easter. Because it is in this story that is completely given away to us what the scriptures are all about. Let's reread what we find Jesus saying to them in verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Concerning himself. And then in verse 32, after he has taken bread at the table and broken it, and they recognize and realize that they're sitting with Jesus, then we are told that they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and did what? Open the scriptures to us. And here's the reality of how we understand scripture. We experience understanding through Jesus. We understand the scriptures through Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine this for a second. So you think back and you think, okay, if you have been raised in a Jewish household in the time of Jesus, you have read the Bible up until this point. you have read everything that happens up until this point before the Gospels come along. And so you would have traveled through that and you would have had a basic understanding of it. But all of a sudden, the Savior comes along, Jesus the Messiah, and you realize that everything up to that point has been building to this moment. Everything that's in these pages that you kind of scratch your head at Hebrew school wondering, why am I having to learn all these laws and why am I having to learn what this prophet said and what this prophet said, you realize that all of it has been building up to this point and is culminated and is fulfilled and completed in the person of Jesus. And then you realize that all of a sudden the scriptures make sense. And all of a sudden your eyes are open and it's not just words that you learned in Hebrew school. Instead, you feel something burning within you, a confirmation. Because these words are more than just words on a page. These words are life. These words are transformative. Now look at it from the other perspective. I did not grow up in a Jewish household. Most of you probably did not. These words of Scripture really don't have much meaning to me in my cultural background, except for the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, he fulfilled everything that was in the scriptures beyond that point. And everything that flows out of the scriptures from that point makes sense to us because Jesus gave his life on the cross and he rose from the grave and that declares him to be Lord and the name that is above every other name. And because of that, everything within these pages matters to me. And everything within these pages makes sense in my life and helps me grow in my faith and grow in my understanding of what it means to live this life and to live a life of faith. It's all because of Jesus. It's not because the words mean something because of my historical appreciation. It is because Jesus has transformed the world and he has transformed my life. And because of that, these words burn within me because they have the power to change lives and the power to change our world. I got to hear this spelled out in such a beautiful way. There was a guy, I've shared this story before, so it might be familiar to you, but there was a guy at a church in Thailand, and his name was Brother Skinny. His name was Brother Skinny because he was skinny, and I don't know what his real name was in Thai, but he was a leader within one of the churches that I visited when I got to go over to Thailand a few years ago. And the reason that he became a Christian was because when the American missionaries came and started trying to spread the gospel in that part of Thailand, they didn't understand the culture. And so they said, we need to find somebody who understands the culture, who speaks English well and speaks the Thai culture well and can translate what we're trying to communicate to these people. And everybody in the community says, oh, you've got to get Skinny. Get Skinny to do it. He's not a Christian, but get him to do it because he can explain it well. And so what they would do is they would go and Brother Skinny would be their interpreter. He would explain the scriptures to people. And he didn't even believe in what he was saying until one day it clicked, just like the disciples walking along the road to Emmaus, and all of a sudden their eyes were open, and his eyes were opened, and he saw that those words that he was proclaiming were about something that actually mattered and something that actually had life in them. And he gave his life to Jesus, and he has continued to serve that church faithfully, earning the beautiful moniker of Brother Skinny, serving in powerful ways and leading others to know Christ because his life was changed. The scriptures began to burn within him and his understanding of his faith was confirmed because he encountered Jesus. Now this story ends with a powerful moment. And it's a moment that might not make sense to us if we didn't grow up in that culture, but Jesus takes bread as he's sitting with the disciples there in their home in Ephesus, and he breaks the bread. And it is at that moment, we're told in verse 32, that were not our hearts burning with us when he walked along the road and opened the scriptures to us. That's the first part of it. But then in verse 35, it says, they told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. It is in that moment that they realize that it's Jesus that they've been walking with. It's in that moment that they realize that Jesus is not just explaining the scriptures to them. He is the fulfillment of the scriptures. He is the fulfillment, and this is everything is about him. And they recognize it in the breaking of bread because that's a moment of showing grace. That would be the moment that when the host gathered the community around him, those who had gathered for dinner. He would take the bread and he would break it. And through breaking that bread and giving it to those who were gathered at the table, it was an extension of hospitality, an extension of grace, a demonstration and a sign of welcome and acceptance. And Jesus breaks the bread, and they realize and recognize not just that moment of the host breaking and sharing the hospitality and the grace, but they also would have recognized as, remember a few nights ago when he took bread and he explained to us that he was giving his life for us. And those two things, the scriptures that he opened up to them and the breaking of bread, are where they begin to understand what this book is all about and what the faith is all about. And we experience in our lives transformation in those two ways as well, through the word and table. We experience transformation when we encounter not just the words of scripture, but the living word at the table of Jesus giving his life for us and us being invited within that fellowship. And so during Lent, what we're going to do is we're going to travel through the scriptures. We're going to take a journey. We're going to look at the creation, we're going to look at the fall, we're going to look at the nation of Israel, but we're going to look at it from the perspective of what did they say and point to about Jesus. And then each week, one thing that we're doing a little bit different in our worship is we're going to celebrate communion every week. It's usually something we only do during holidays and on first Sundays, but during the season, we're going to keep gathering at the table. Because through that breaking of bread and that sharing of the cup, that we're reminded of God's grace extended to us, that this is not just an encounter with the scriptures, this is not just an encounter with words on a page, but when we gather, we are in the presence of Jesus and we are inviting him in to be with us as we travel through this journey of faith to continue to grow and to continue to be transformed and to be made whole. As we come to the table, we're reminded that this is a place of grace, that this is a place where we experience the fulfillment of what the scriptures have been pointing towards. As we journey through our faith, sometimes it takes us a while, much like it took the disciples on the road to Emmaus, to have our eyes opened to what grace is all about. There's a beautiful story that had some bumps along the way about a man back in the 1700s named John Newton. John Newton was in the British Navy, and he ended up getting demoted in the British Navy and was so filled with rage, he even considered killing the captain and committing suicide himself. But God pulled him out of that, and he ended up going and being pulled out of the Navy, and he encountered the Bible. And he started to read the Bible, and he started to understand what it meant to follow Jesus. But there were still some things that were cloudy in his life, and he actually got actively engaged as a ship captain in the slave trade. And he was trading slaves, he was participating in evil, and then over time, God convicted him, and he realized the sin that he was a part of. He realized that he needed to surrender his life fully to Jesus, and he renounced those ways, became an Anglican priest, and ended up writing this little song that became one of the most popular hymns of all time called Amazing Grace. And that story of Amazing Grace is not just a story about someone reading the book once and it clicking. It's about someone who read that book over and over and over again, and they let their life be transformed by it. And as his life was transformed by it, he not only realized that he needed to fully surrender himself to God's grace, he realized that he needed to give his life to making sure that the words of those pages were lived out. And he did that not only as a priest, he did that as someone who fought to the end of his life to make sure that the evil and the practice of slavery was abolished in his nation. Because God not only spoke to him as someone that he could experience once and be done with as a destination, God spoke to him and said, this is a journey of faith, and you get to keep on growing and keep on being transformed as you understand the scriptures and grow through these words about Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was raised and the one who makes the word come alive